Welcome to the Officially Outed Podcast with your host, El Shalom, where we are putting a positive twist on what it means to be outed. Join us weekly where we amplify the discography of independent LGBTQ plus artists, engage in lifestyle commentary, and social injustice dialogue. So stay tuned. Turn up the volume and get officially outed by the Officially Outed Podcast. Y'all, welcome to another episode of the Officially Outed Podcast with your host, El Shalon. And today we are talking to a Black business owner, a creator, a dancer, lover of music, all things step, and so much more. So I'm so excited today to have my friend, my frat brother, all of that on the Officially Outed Podcast, and the owner, CEO, and creator of Ethan Hookin. Hookah. I can't talk
today.
Y'all,
it's all good. No, Ethan Hookah. A lot of people say, is it Epin or Ethan? It's Ethan.
No, I'm sorry.
And I'll get into it.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. So I'm excited because this is part of the culture experience and Black excellence that I want to talk about on the podcast. Not only just music, but I do want to highlight successful Black businesses that we need to support and that we can support. And they're doing a lot for the community and the LGBTQ owned. So that's most important. All right. So, Mr. Carr.
Yes, sir.
What moved you to create this business without going into all your private details?
Right.
How did you get to a point of becoming a Black business owner?
Well, it's one of those things, you know, I've been in the work world, you know, forever. Let's just say that. And still working, by the way. I am a project manager by day. I was actually traveling to LA, right? And So we went to this little bar lounge type of deal, and I was already into hookahs. I smoke hookahs regularly. I have them at my house, of course, because I own them. But at the same time, just for recreation, that's what I did. So as I was in LA, I saw these gentlemen with these electric hookahs that I've never seen before. Oh, and cool. I was like, yo, I said, what are these? You know, he said, these are e-hookahs. I said, okay, cool. I said, how does it work? Well, he showed me that it worked similar to a vape, what have you. And I said, oh, this is interesting. So just that alone was put the plug in my head. Like when I said, okay, when I get back, I'm about to do this.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, you know, just that's what gave me the bug. And then when I got back to ATL, I put the plan into play.
And how long did that journey last for you? Because it's just very similar. You know, we're cool, we're close. Mm-hmm. And I know we have been talking about this for a couple years, same with the podcast and all those things. So what was your duration like for you?
When you say duration, like get started, getting it
off. Just from the very beginning and getting to actual execution.
So first and foremost, it started with research. I knew about hookahs, but that's just from a smoking aspect. But as for understanding how to put shisha in, I do shisha as well, by the way. But just putting the shisha in, how much to put in, what's the best way of getting smoke and all this other stuff. So I started researching it. And then what I've noticed, my plan was to, you know, write everything down. I wrote everything down. I did research. I got my LLC. I started as an S corporation. Then I changed it over to an LLC. That being said, once I get all the legal paperwork, because a lot of hookah business, I want to say this too, a lot of hookah businesses are not running legally. When I say that, I'm saying that because I had changed my name. So at first I was going to do, my name was going to be Top Shelf Hookah. And that's come from research. And that's why I say research is important. So there was no one with the name. I actually used a company that specialized in getting your business name. They do all the paperwork that you don't want to do yourself. They do it for you for a fee. So I hired them to do that. And they came back to me and said, well, you can have the name. There's nothing else out there with Top Shelf Hookah. And I said, okay. So I started researching on my own and I didn't see anything. But then when I typed in Top Shelf Hookah, a website popped up with Top Shelf Hookah. Well, they didn't have the name legally, you know what I'm saying? That's where it wasn't part of the business. What is the BBB? It wasn't part of the Better Business Bureau. However, they had the website. And so I didn't want to go through the rigor mortis of trying to, hey, you know, that's my business name and I want to pay you for your website. I didn't want to do that. So I had to come up with another name.
So
I'll go into that. So then once I got all the paperwork established, I said, let me find another name. So I started looking for another name for Smoke and I started researching different languages. And so I came across Ifen, which is smoke in Yoruba, Africa. It's an African word for smoke. And I said, oh, Ifen. And then if you notice my logo, the logo is red. The E is red for a reason because it's triple meaning. E for Everett. Then I'm doing electric hookahs. And then, of course, Ifen for smoke. And so that's how I got the name Ifen Hookah. And then I just ran with it.
How long did it take you to do this entire process? Mm-hmm. About 2 to 3 years?
The first year, for me not being lazy, let me just say that. But the first, I would say it took me literally less than 2 weeks to get the name and all that stuff done. It's a day process if you're really on it. However, getting materials, like how much the hookahs cost. I started looking up pricing and I was looking in the wrong places, guys. I was going into the hookah stores thinking I'm gonna buy a bunch of hookahs from there. No, the hookahs I have cost $200 a piece in a store, like $250.
Right.
I end up going on Alibaba
and
things of that nature. And then I also went on eBay and I found a seller of just blank hookahs. And I said, oh, and they gave me a great price. And so I just bought them in bulk with an investor. So,
awesome. And tell the people what Ifen Hookah is in terms of when they're thinking about parties, things are opening back up and they are thinking about services. And especially if they're going to do something at their home or things like that. Tell them a little bit about your business and what you actually do, the service you provide.
So Ifen Hookah is I do private events. This could be weddings, bar mitzvahs. It could be a picnic. It could be a backyard party. It could be whatever it is, you know, what type of party you may want. And I provide hookah service. Now, I'm not the same as your regular hookahs that go table to table and give hookahs to people. My hookahs are all in a row. I do a main hookah bar where I do unlimited smoke for anyone that could come to the table and just smoke. And then you go back to your own business and you come back to the table and smoke again. I do it that way is because I found it being easier to handle my hookahs. I've lost about 5 hookahs from people breaking them. All my hookahs are glass. And so things happen, but I just found it an easier way. And then a different niche because most of my hookahs are nicotine free. So for those people who say, oh, hookah burn my throat or this and that, my hookahs don't do that. They're very, very, very smooth. It may not give you the same feeling that most people want with natural hookahs where, you know, they get the nicotine or the coal and, you know, that coal is charring the hookah and it burns your throat. Or some people say, I don't get a buzz or high feeling. That's because I don't have nicotine in mine. Only on special requests. I do have the options, but I just typically, if I'm just doing a straight backyard party, it's typically nicotine free and you can smoke all night and you won't feel buzz or lightheaded.
Awesome. That is really great. Was there ever a time that when you were building out your business, you mentioned like being lazy and just doing some things. But was there ever a time, did you get discouraged at all, like within your research or ideas? Or were you pretty much like, no, I know I want to do this?
No, I have not got discouraged. The only time I got discouraged, I will say I'd have, but not to stop. You understand? It's the way I was doing business. And so when I say that, I mean, like, I was calling bars after bars after bars. Hey, you know, I own a hookah business. I want to come down and show you my hookah. It's different from everybody else. You don't have to worry about fire. You don't have to worry about all the little things. Most people, because a lot of bars, they require you to have insurance policy maybe because, like, say, when the coal drops, cause a fire, you have to be equipped to handle those stuff. A lot of people don't do that, you know? So I have my eyes insured. And then as for... It was just hard getting people to say, oh, we already got a hookah person. Or, you know, you go like to all these different other establishments, it's always the hookah girls or hookah guys. They got that thing done. So I tried to tap into a market that most people not doing. So like I have friends that own bartending companies where they do private events. So kind of offering package deals with them. So, hey, tell them you got hookahs. We could split that way. Or I found another guy. We did a rooftop party together. He had a traveling bar business and we was doing the same party so happily. Yeah. And so connected with him, even event people who had event spacing, I said, hey, you know, if you know people that want hookahs, you can offer them a hookah package, you know, and I have different packages based off how many hookahs you want, how many hours I'm going to be there. And I just charge flat fees.
What has been probably one of your most enjoyable clients that you have, even if you don't have to get out any names, but just a most memorable event for you?
Yeah. So I had this one gentleman, his theme was flowers. Right. And so I was like, oh, OK, it's get different because I was like, the first event I've done with a theme base. And so I had one of our fraternity brothers, Michael Jenkins, you know, thank you, my brother.
Yes.
He is my graphic designer. You know what I'm saying? He did all my hookahs and I had him create a T-shirt with flowers. So I found this T-shirt, nice shirt. And I said, I want my logo on this. And I said, OK. And then I decorated my hookahs with flowers as well. And so when they walk in, they saw this elaborate setup. I was like, oh, it gave a different class to it. You know, you didn't think hookahs can be classy. They really can if you actually do a theme-based event.
One thing I do love about this is you are tapping into and doing something different because everybody's got a restaurant. Everybody's got.
Yeah.
So very proud that you found that niche thing that nobody was necessarily doing, although now people are probably going to jump on that. But it is what it is. You got it.
It's enough for everybody.
It's enough for everybody. So, no, that's awesome. Going down this journey, is there anything different that you would have done? You kind of already talked about tapping into, you know, initially going into the wrong places, trying to sell your business. Anything else you would do different?
Absolutely. I'm working on officially revamping my business now. Doing the hookah events are all fun, you know, to rent them out, whatever. But the real money comes from opening your own store and also selling them. My hookahs are branded, so I have, you know, those I could sell them to a distributor and have them being sold, whatever. But I want to open up a nice spot where you can not only come smoke, but you also come purchase the hookahs. It's going to be a one-in-one type of deal. And I'm going to call it the Ethan Hookah Box. So watch out for it.
Stay tuned.
Yes, no, that's the right. Ethan Hookah Box. Watch out for
big it. Big things on the way. So y'all.
I ain't saying tomorrow, but you know, it's coming.
No, but what we want to do is make sure y'all, as y'all thinking about all these upcoming events, I know some things that are upcoming that these, when you're looking for a Black-owned business, Black-owned LGBTQ business, all of that, and, you know, things like I said, backyard is summer coming up.
Absolutely.
So if they want to find out more, how do they contact you or go, what, you know, how do they reach you to find out if they want to have
absolutely your service? So as of now, you can reach me on my Instagram. It's Ethan Hookah at Ethan Hookah. That's EFINHOOKAH. And then also my contact information is on there as well. No website yet, you know what I'm saying? Because that's something I'm working on to launch the new line of hookahs. But yeah, that's how you can reach me. My number is there. I have a Google number, or you can also reach me at 404-447-6618. That's my personal line. I do respond very quickly. I am getting booked. I just did a beautiful backyard party last weekend. So for a doctor friend of mine, and this is my second time doing an event with him. And so he's always has a great event, you know, and so it was real cool. I posted pictures on it. He had a great DJ and it's just a vibe, you know, and of course you there having mellow drinks, smoking your hookah. It's a win-win situation.
Getting a date, possibly all that. What is your favorite thing about being a business owner?
My favorite thing is the creative process, doing exactly what you want to do when you want to do it. And you can change it up at any time. There's nothing wrong as an entrepreneur to try new things and then change up if you feel it's not working in your favor, you know? And so that's, I think, the greatest thing. And then, you know, of course, I still have a 9-to-5. My goal is to not be working soon.
Yep.
And so I want to flourish my business the way it should be.
Absolutely. And with that being said, even if somebody has some ideas, you kind of mentioned it, start writing things down. Is there any other advice that you would give people to stay motivated if they have an idea, like to believe, like how to take that chance on themselves?
Absolutely. Let me tell you, you're going to have people in your ears all the time. Oh, well, or they're going to tell you, I'm going to tell you this from experience. A lot of people come to me and say, when I go to my events, you have a few people that's like, well, I don't feel anything. I want the nicotine, da da da. Well, you know what I'm saying? You're not from my market. You're not the person I'm catering to. So just understand, know who your customer base is and stick to it. If you know that's who you want to target, then target that customer. That's the niche. Find your customer niche and stick to it. Don't have people in your ear telling you, oh, you should add this and add this. Well, then what's making you special? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Why? What makes your business stand out from everybody else's? And that's kind of what the niche I was going for. I go for people who don't smoke.
Yeah.
The non-smokers who want to fit in and be a social smoker. You know what I'm saying? So no nicotine. It's not doing nothing to you. Yeah. It's pretty much just vapes and water and you just chill. And you could feel like you part of the crew.
Yeah, no.
I don't smoke at all. So just stick to your niche is what I'm saying. Whoever your customer base is, stick to it. It's okay to add in here and there. I'm not saying don't forget about everybody else, you know, because other options can make you money. However, but sometimes when you find that niche and no one else using, that's where your bread comes from. And you just stick to it. And they're like, because you're going to create a whole following that way.
And I like how you said, though, you still have that option for nicotine. That's a special request for our special things. A little bit more money.
And it comes with consultation. It's expensive. Like, I'm telling you all, like, getting shisha and hoses, and if anything breaks, you got to replace it. And then, you know, those electric hookah tops cost $100 a pop. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I take care of those very well. But a lot of people been asking me to buy that. They want to buy from me. And that's the main thing. And I'm not ready yet for that.
Yeah. But he's working on that.
I'm working on it.
Part of the plan. So that's the good part. So you've kind of created this whole lane for yourself. And you're always thinking ahead in business growth model. And you're thinking transactional, right? And not just the service, but you got things that people can buy, which is, to your point, is going to what's going to drive the revenue. So like how you're thinking about that in terms of services. So were you always a creative person?
Always. Let me tell you all. So I've been knowing Terrence Lockett, let's be clear, for over 20 years now.
Yes.
From college. We've just been it ever since. You know what I'm saying? We've parted ways here and there, but we've been always in each other's corner and backyard. And this brother here, as a business owner, I'm so freaking proud of him for what he has accomplished right now. He's the person I've always come to with his HR. I need my resume done. I have questions. I need an interview. Practice this man right here. And now he's really been touching on his niche, which is the podcast and music. He's always been into music. I mean, always since I met him.
Yeah.
Like, always been into music. For him to be doing this and it's flourishing is great.
Yeah,
walk into your path you are.
No, thank you. I appreciate
Absolutely.
It. And, you know, I love your story because we've seen each other grow. We've shared these ideas and talked through. And I know so many times people tried to encourage me to do different businesses with things that I was good at, but it wasn't, for some reason, it didn't click with me passion-wise.
Passion, yeah.
But like you said, music has always been a passion of mine. I never thought I'd be doing a podcast. That's not what I didn't know what I would be doing. I didn't know that I'd even be owning a business, but I just knew that at some point after enough situations in corporate America, I was like, it's time to exit stage left and what can I do? And you're right. And everybody, you know, if you've been listening to the podcast, you know the story, how I found my niche with the LGBTQ artist and the independent artist lane. And so I'm just so proud. Like you said, thank you so much, because I've seen so much growth now that I've put in, you know, effort. And even from season one, when I started to where I'm at now, when I really put my foot down and focus.
And then on top of that, the artist that he has on his show, don't think we're not listening.
Yeah.
Because I found some great artists that I would have never known existed if it wasn't for your podcast. You know,
when
I came in today, I was like, hey, I said, boy, I can sing. Yeah. Like, I'll actually listen to these artists, and, you know, it's a great thing.
Yeah.
So.
So, AT, we was listening to you, A-List. We talking about you. You know, we always talk about you. But yeah, this is just really phenomenal. The Dancer.
Yeah.
Getting into artist management.
You're doing
a lot.
Yeah. So, well, I used to be a dancer. I used to choreograph for Janelle Monáe. A lot of people, like, that was my thing. Dancing, we talk about passion. Dancing was a passion of mine. And unfortunately, you know, I parted the industry, you know, because I felt it wasn't making me money the way I wanted. I didn't hone into my craft like I should. So, that being said, but I also sing. I grew up singing. I was supposed to be an opera singer. I studied music in college and everything. And so I lost track of that. You know, I'm not surprised I'm not singing, you know, or things of that nature, but that's not what it is. I love the creative side of it. I like artist development. I see an artist you know, and I'm like, oh my God, who's your manager? You know, yeah. And that's the thing, management. And so now I'm trying to start stepping into that. And I have an artist that I share with Terrence. The girl is bad. I'm telling you, she is so bad. And I can't wait to make her officially out it, because this will be the first platform she's ever done music on. She has no music out. Girl is a beast.
Amen. She writes, she is.
She writes songs like all day, every day. She got like about 300-400 songs ready for about 6-7 albums. So I'm grabbing her by the britches and like, she just don't want to be out. I said, no, we're putting you out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's time.
Yeah, we're going to get you some writer credit.
Oh, we're about to get her. She is dope. And I'm not going to say her name yet.
Yeah,
because
you're good with that. But yeah, this is what it's all about, you know, and this is why networking is cool. Mm-hmm. Friendships. Real friendships.
Real friendships. Yeah. No fake shit.
I mean, and that's the thing, our love for each other, our respect for each other, all that brings us back together, even if we lose track. Mm-hmm. You know, because we're human. We meet friends. We mm-hmm. have different people going different directions, jobs, mm-hmm. location. You know, we've all worked in different states. And
absolutely.
Even if we were located in Atlanta, we was traveling, this and that.
Absolutely.
But we always managed to come back together because we share that common bond and that common friendship and mutual respect for each yep. other. So that's what I love.
And the Alpha Shield, baby. Yes.
But every time we get together, it's like, even if we ain't talked,
oh, right.
It's like
nothing left.
We just, as soon as we come in, we just start cracking up, talking about shit. We just already know. And that's what I love about it too. And when you find somebody that has that passion for you, like my mind is actually going right now about some business things. And I'm mm-hmm. like, ooh, I'm glad you said that because I have some ideas, but I need somebody to work with. You know, I might be asking them to co-host season 4 with me. You never know what's going to happen. So y'all stay tuned.
And on that point, you heard what he just said. Yes, your head was flowing with yeah. ideas. When you all have things that are flowing in your brain, write them down.
Yes.
Everybody don't write on paper anymore. Put it in your phone, put it yeah. in your notebook,
make
whatever.
Make it a voice memo.
Make it a voice memo. Do something. Just write it down, because you're going to kick yourself. I don't know how many times I kicked myself when I came up with an idea and didn't
write it down
and didn't go with it, because then all of a sudden, oh man, somebody came out with this and something I thought about years ago. You
yeah.
know what I'm saying? Like,
well,
I was ahead of time.
I've been thinking about that too. And I said, one thing that we fail to do as people, if you ever really think about it, you'd be sitting around saying that, right?
Mm-hmm.
You'd be talking about your ideas out loud.
Oh.
And you got to be careful, especially at work.
Oh, come on now.
Because you
I got the hand sanitizer on after this because right. I got something to say.
They always listening to you.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll go because they have the capital or whatever. And they'll go and create it. And then you'd be sitting at home 6 months to a year later talking about, dang, somebody mm-hmm. came out with that. And I was just thinking about yep. that a couple months ago. And the reality is you was talking about it. You said it out loud, you thought about it, and somebody was listening around the corner and was like, let me go do
yep.
it.
And it's so funny that you say that, because there are some hookah businesses out here, you know what I'm saying, that I respect everybody, but somebody used my tagline. It's okay. It's like they copied and pasted my saying and put it on their things, but it's all good.
I hope you get sent them a cease and desist.
No, it's not nothing like that. It's it's words are words, you know what I'm saying? But it's all about mm-hmm. how you put it together. So it's all good. But
I got to be more
careful. But I'm saying, as for, you know, I'm all about collaborations. If it's other hookah businesses out there and you all need help,
yeah.
you know what I'm saying? As for if you're working an event, you need me as a hookah guy to come help work, I'm here. You know what I'm saying? I hire my friends to come work for me if it's a day, if I know I'm going to be busy, you know?
Well, let me ask you this. Are you looking for investors when you start in your business? Are you open to that?
Well, I am open, but right now, because now that you have a business, if you're doing it correctly, you know what I'm saying, you could get money. Yeah. There's money out there, friends.
I know.
Use
it. Get some of it.
Get it before it's gone.
Yeah, it's probably gone.
Oh, no, it's not. Yeah, it's not gone.
Go. Oh, I need to call her.
So get it. Oh, I got you. Hold on. I got you. I'm sorry. Hook you up. All right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but I don't mind investors at all. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, when I first started, I have an investor that I'm still paying on. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just, yeah. you know what I'm saying? It's okay. If you got somebody that capital, I got friends that's willing to give me money now because they're really interested in the hookah thing. And so I just sometimes get weary of investor because sometimes they feel they can tell you how to run your business.
Yes, trust me.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't take too well. So people trying to tell me how to run. I don't mind ideas, but like,
yeah.
you know, like,
but I know my direction, I know my vision. Yeah. Sometimes it's not y'all's fault either that I can't communicate that effectively to you, because I just know in my head, and some things is not audible, is just visual.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the reasoning maybe behind it is what I can't.
Yeah.
There's future things that I don't want to talk about or that I'm dreaming about that may be hard for me to, for you to even get the picture because you can't understand my bigger picture.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
And so, I'm an Aquarius. And so my brain is all over the place, like very, very eclectic. So I could see something that's far-fetched, but I see something clear about it. You know what I mean?
You know
so,
me. Yeah, that's me with the thrift store. That's how
absolutely. Taryn, let me tell y'all, Mr. T. Lockett, this motherfucker would be clean. When I tell you clean, and so when I first moved to Atlanta, he took me shopping. He took me thrift store shopping. And I'm like, what? Like, I've never shopped in no freaking thrift store, right?
Right.
So I will come, and we'd go hit up every thrift store in Atlanta, almost. Like, we'd start off on the south side, end up all the way in Alpharetta somewhere. We'd just ride the whole way. When I tell you clean, like, you couldn't say nothing. I paid $12 for a suit that was never worn.
Yeah.
I had got it tailored. It was came from Neiman Marcus.
Yeah.
Man, telling you, clean. I was like, okay, a little secret. You know what I'm saying? And you would never know. You would never know. Never know.
No, that was, but you know, back in the day, that's why I got to get this weight back off me so I can get back into my clothes.
Because
I can't wear nothing.
We all been there. Look, we all been there. You've seen me at my biggest. So I know.
It's happening. I still feel good as of my age. I'm doing okay.
You're doing well. You're doing great.
Doing well. Well, that comes to trademarks. You know, I want y'all to understand the importance of getting your stuff trademarked. I gave out some resources. I've got 2 trademarks underneath my belt and all of that stuff. So patents and trademarks and all that good stuff. So try to make sure that, because then you can send that cease and desist.
Yeah. So I need to talk to you about trademarks. So, yeah, I need that information.
Yeah. And it's not too expensive. So
yeah, it can be. I know what a patent attorney, you know.
No, I got you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the point is that it's important to do your due diligence. It's important to do your research. It's important to understand your cost and then kind of build out your strategy. Like, don't let one thing hold you up from something else. But be strategic about it. Be strategic when you talk about it. Be strategic when you share it. So, you know, all those things, and wait till you get things in order and properly order. You know, I don't talk about everything.
Right.
But trust me, I'm behind the scenes. I've worked on all that patent, trademarks, the whole nine, logos, wording, all that is trademarks.
That is true. And the crazy thing is, when he say, don't talk about, I was really methodical when I did my Ethan Hooker, because a few people knew, you know what I'm saying? But I was just ready. So I just started buying my stuff, and I was giving a little buzz like, oh, the package came. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I was like, it's here.
Yeah.
Coming soon. You know what I'm saying? Just seeing that coming soon sign.
Yes. Because you're now, building up and building anticipation.
So now it's here. And I'm like, yo, okay. And I was getting booked. You know what I'm saying? Then COVID happened. I got nervous, okay, with COVID, because I had some collaboration events that was going on. I pulled out of all the events because I was scared. I said, so now this is coming to liability. Am I going to be a spreader of COVID? Because you understand, you smoking hookah and you blowing the smoke in the air. So you, of course, that's a super spreader. You know what I mean? So I just backed off, you know, and I stopped doing events altogether. And I lost a lot of money in 2020.
Yeah.
But other things happened within, you know, kept me afloat. Yeah, so thank God. I didn't lose my job. Thank God. My company was great. We actually did better during COVID than we did any other year that we worked.
Yeah. So that's the thing. See, you know what I'm saying? So God works in mysterious ways. And you're right, because I even think about that too, because I'm like, ooh, got these artists in here, but I'm like, you know, get my stuff, we're going to scrub this stuff down, we're going to sanitize, we're going to take headshots, do what we got to do, temperature checks, whatever. But no, it's funny, you think about when you talk about branding, because I'm looking at this stuff and I'm like, oh gosh, I got to rebrand everything because I got to put the R on here, the registered
trademark. Oh, registered trademark, yeah. That's dope.
This stuff ain't cheap.
I know. Oh, but it's called progression.
It is called progression.
This is what it was, and this is what it is now.
Even with the heaven.
Yeah, time. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, next step is going to be a standalone building.
Oh, yeah, so I can't wait.
We'll be coming up out of here.
I know. And the Ethan Box, y'all can come film
we'll
at the
next door.
At the Ethan Box. And I got a space too for you.
Yes, so I need to go on my room. I put it in existence now. I'm already been in conversations to start going out and looking at spaces, so even if I'm ready or not, I'm about to go look.
Let's talk. And when we get off this, I got something to share with you.
Yeah, we got a lot to share with each other. So. Yep. See, this is why good relationships all important. But I want to again. I'm just so proud of you for your Black excellence, becoming a CEO, business owner, moving it forward. Oftentimes, people, as far as that 9 to 5. Mm-hmm. And then working in your business, is there any particular thing that will be that drop point for you where you say, you know what, it's time to finally let the 9 to 5 go and I'm going to go out on faith?
You know what? That's what's holding me back. I think the fear. And I think when we operate in fear, we never move forward. And so that's my thing. Like if I just dropped everything and willingly right now just to drop my job, I would go in survival mode. But you know, I can do it.
Yeah.
You know I can do it. Because we've been in worse situations. Like, I mean, I tell you, I'm not going to get into it. We've been through the trenches.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And survived. We've seen people come and go from Atlanta, you know. So I moved to Atlanta based off the Black entrepreneurship that I saw.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It was the Black Mecca at that time. And 9/11 happened. You know what I'm saying? Then when 9/11 happened, that's when I moved to Atlanta. Everything kind of dropped. Like, nobody was hiring. We was going to Cobb Galleria for all these big old job fairs and things of that nature. I'm talking about, I worked at every mall in Atlanta.
Right.
I was general manager. I was the first general, one of the Black general managers at Phipps, which wasn't that many, but I worked at Phipps, Lenox, Perimeter, Mall of Georgia. I even did Cumberland, and I also worked all the way out in Arbor Place Mall. You know what I'm saying? Like, I worked at, I'll tell you, every mall, worked at every mall. Because when I first moved here, I had a plan.
Yeah.
And that's the key, a plan. My plan was, hey, you know what? I got money stacked. But when you don't have money, it goes out quicker. You know what I'm saying? When you don't have nothing coming in. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, my first thing was to get a job at the mall and then look for something in my career.
Right.
So day one, when I moved to Atlanta, I took my butt up to Arbor Place Mall and I got a job. But I got hired the day I got here.
But I think the key to that, and that's the key even for me and the key for you, and that's why we're still here 20 years later, is because we came with a plan.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing wrong. Atlanta is a great place, partying and all that stuff.
You would get consumed.
Yes. And I tell you, that plan, and not just having a plan, but being one of the people that stick to the plan.
Stick to the plan,
yeah. And not being persuaded by all these other things. Because even though I have fun, at the end of the day and at the beginning of the day and even in the middle of the day, my purpose, I made sure I stayed to my purpose and I lived more in my purpose than I did the social part of it.
Absolutely.
And like I said, and that's just having that proper balance and knowing what I came for. So nobody could distract me and
absolutely
pull me out. And I thank God for giving me that strength.
And I'm a social butterfly. You know what I'm saying? I know a lot of people. Like, if they say 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, it's 6 degrees of Fabric Carr. And I'm telling you, I know a lot of people.
And I was going to say the same. Like, one thing I will say about my life journey, though, even when we got here, God has really put us in the path of a lot of amazing people.
Amazing people.
When we first got here, like, when I think of the people that we've been around, the people we've gotten to meet, you know, you choreographer and putting that together for Janelle Monáe. Like, I mean, at the beginning of her career, you know, she was taking off.
We lived in the same apartment complex.
Yeah.
Didn't even know it. And I was sitting here choreographing her music.
Yeah.
For a show that she was going to supposedly sing at, you know? And so that's just how it happened.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's amazing. Like, I literally can think, I didn't even come here to meet celebrities. Every turn, it was, I shied away from that. try to go the opposite way, but every time I went somewhere,
it was always in the face.
Yeah, you know? I was like, and people was like, "Well, damn, how you get to meet these people?" And I was like, "I don't know."
Just happened, you know. I was choreographing with Derek J. I was doing his hair shows for a long time.
I mean, we've been at Candy's house,
been at Candy's old house. It was Mama Joy's house now. We played spades. You know, I know she don't remember us now, but I'm just saying.
Yeah,
but
she
touched,
was my spades partner.
She's really, really. How she is on TV. She's a really cool person.
She really is.
Really cool, down to earth.
And me and her was upset. Me and her was getting everybody up from the table.
Spanking.
Yeah, just spanking that ass. But it's just the fact that we've been able to really, and I think that authenticity, because it wasn't so much a trying to be in that space per se.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that it kind of just naturally happened that way. And I think that's what allows us to have really good relationships with these individuals and be invited to these people's homes and
absolutely
hang out with these people, because they knew that we weren't celebrity chasers, but they could see the genuine in us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that allowed us to be in those spaces.
Absolutely. And so I want to put this plug out. If anybody have any connections to, remember, we used to go to the BET Awards?
Yes.
Let me tell you, we used to go to the BET Awards all the time. I want my hookahs in the VIP section for the artists that come and they just waiting. If anybody can get me in there, just, you know, talk to me, Ethan Hooker.
I know that's right.
Somebody out there knows somebody.
Put it out there. That's
absolutely
what I'm saying.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I would love to be part of the, you know, when they come in to their little press and they just chilling. Oh, I want a hookah in my room or something like that. I want to provide those hookahs.
See, and they don't have the old shows on there. But everybody used to laugh because I used to always be on TV.
Okay, year. We was always on TV. They always put us in the front because we always be that fly as fuck.
And so it's just so, I miss those days of all of that fun that we had. But we getting back there. We're going down different lanes. We'll be back in those places in a different way.
Oh, so remember, I know you remember this. So remember when we went to, I think it was BET Hip Hop Awards.
Yeah.
And there was a light-skinned gentleman that was there at the Hazel Eyes.
I kind of remember him a bit.
Well, he's a rapper now. And he is dope. Like, dope. And I'm passing along his information, too.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
So we've had some great opportunities to be around some great people. And so this has been really good. I just want y'all to make sure that y'all supporting Black-owned businesses. You stay motivated if you have ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Find your niche. Find your thing. Stay motivated. Write your ideas down.
And execute them.
And execute them. And start to think and put a plan. Mm-hmm. I tell people this all the time. If you actually write your goals down, then start breaking your goals down on what you need to do to accomplish those goals, you'll realize that's, you don't have a lot of time.
You don't. And let me tell you, as a project manager, it helps me even more now because I run projects every day for work. And so, and just, you know, piecing everything together, making sure you stay in budget, all this good stuff. I use that for myself.
Yes.
You understand? Like, so whatever you're doing for your current 9-to-5, make it work for your business as well. When you can't have the money to print, get there early. I used to do this all the time. I ain't telling you to cheat the system, but I used to get to work all the time to make printouts and things I need to do, you know what I'm saying, for my own personal, because like, hey, I'm giving them all of my time every day. I'm going
to
take
some. But that's the thing. I mean, you're really going to work to learn how to apply it. And white people do it all the time, so we shouldn't feel ashamed of that. They take all of those skills and those connections and they grow their career and work their way up to director and VP level, and then they turn around and take all of that and use that to open up their own business. So they learn from some of these other companies and take the relationships, and then they go from there. So nothing new, nothing that we should be ashamed about. We should always be putting that first. Well, I absolutely loved the conversation today. I know there's so much more that you got going on. Some stuff I didn't even know. So this is amazing to connect with you.
Thank you.
And sit down. Even though I was just at your house a couple weeks ago, we weren't talking about these things. We were just having a really good time talking about music, of course.
Yeah.
As always, but so we and a group of us, and it was great food and camaraderie.
Yes.
But it's so good to catch up with you to actually find out what you got going on in your personal life. And actually, you're doing a lot that I didn't even know. So
thank you.
Very proud of you.
Terrence was there from, well, I'll tell you from the beginning, like, I don't want to tell his business, but this man, just to tell you a testimony, lived in his car. He had plans to his house in his one, I remember that one bedroom apartment on Piedmont. He had the smallest apartment. He pulled up them plans to this house being built from the ground up. And I tell you, he inspired the hell out of me. Yeah, I was like, Terrence, because he went through so much and he still survived and got through it. Anybody that did him dirty should be sick to their stomach, because you're doing well, my brother. And you look well.
Thank you.
Your house is almost paid the hell off.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? You're doing your thing. You know what I'm saying? And so
I definitely went from living in that car. It wasn't long, but it was for a few weeks.
And he made it happen. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And at the same time, and I didn't even know it.
I didn't tell anybody that. I just thugged it out.
But those type of things need to be heard, because a lot of people feel like they may be down on your luck and you don't have nothing to show for it. Those be the times when you rise, the phoenix. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
those are times when you just, you know, get everything you need to survive.
Still standing, still here.
Standing.
Like Monica said.
And he loves some Monica.
I mean, I don't hate Brandy, y'all. We ain't gonna get into this debate. We know she's a vocal Bible and all that stuff and got the technique and the best singer and all that crap. But
Monica's just that girl.
She's just that girl. I don't know. I don't know. Ever since she came on, you know, 12, 13 years old, come on rolling that deck. I was like, that's me. That attitude.
Miss Thang.
That was me. But yeah, y'all, this has been great. I think, again, you've already shared your information, how they can reach you. As you're thinking about your summer stuff and summer plans and parties and backyard gatherings, we need to book him out.
Book me. Book me out.
Right.
Book me out.
Shottown.
Book me out. Oh. Right.
Shottown in a building. Right. Hot dot.
Hello.
But we like you too, Nikki. Well, what happened?
Nothing. No hate train. No, Nikki good. I like Nikki.
But she needs to show the queen every second. But anyway, I didn't got that. But but we saw that bitch at the VCA Awards. She is beautiful.
No, yes, she is.
She was in Miami. Gorgeous. I was like, God damn, who is that? That was before she came out. Like when she she did that first cypher. Some people knew who she was, I guess, because she had the underground made her way. But before she actually came out with that first album, seeing her ass at the award show.
I was like, who is that?
She is a beast. You know, so and people always think I'm Caribbean. So I guess that she is, because she kept staring at me and I was like, why is she looking at me? Like, do I know her? And I was kept trying to figure out, because I'm like, well, I don't know who she is.
And they always stop him at the airport. I don't know why they think he's from another country.
Either that or people think I'm some type of celebrity. They be just looking and I'm like.
You get that aura, like, okay, I need to know him.
I kind of do walk through with a little attitude, a little Monica-ish. Gunica,
And we all used to give that, you know what I'm saying? We used to be like, it's all good.
But yeah. Now, this has been great. I can't wait to see the store. We know it's coming. You've already put it out there.
Put it out there.
So there's nothing to it. Both of us. Locations. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
I always like to give everybody that comes on like the last 60 seconds to just speak from their heart. Mm-hmm. So share anything that you want to with the listeners.
Mm-hmm.
And then one last time, remind them how they can get a hold of you so they can start booking you out for the summer.
All right. So just from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank everybody who supported my business from the beginning. I have some ride or die friends out there, you know, that still support. I got friends that will work for me, you know, and just always shouting me out to be the hookah boy at their thing. And so I want to thank my mom, my sisters, you know, they hear me all the time. We've gotten closer since COVID, even though I'm not there.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's just the FaceTime calls now, you know, and having that in depth. I healed my relationship with my mom.
Yes.
During COVID. It was never broken, but it wasn't what I felt it should be, you know, and I realized it was me that held on to things that my father done, but I took it out on my mom, and it wasn't my mom's fault. And so I watched the Ayana Banzant episode, and I felt that particular episode was talking directly at me, and I tell you, I have never cried like that before a day
in
my life.
Which one was it?
It was the one with Buffy. Bucky on there. Yeah, it was that episode. And I felt like, golly, I said, why is this so familiar? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so after that episode, I called my mom and I cried and I apologized. My mom was like, wow. Like, it just felt like all that, came out. You know what I mean? It was gone. Me and my mom has the best relationship. Good. You know, so I love her. We joke around. I still, you know, it takes time. You know, it's going to be overnight, but you know, like, it's dope. Amen. Now.
But all of that, when you let that go.
And then I'm happy. You know what I'm saying? I finally got what I, you know, Terrence, I've been trying to buy a house for I think over 10 years. And like, even when I had it together, nothing would ever work out. It seemed like when chaos happens, would things work out for me?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? COVID happened. I bought a house. Oh, wow. You know what I'm saying? Everything else I had in order and it wasn't working. So it was just crazy. And so I'll just say this to everybody. Do not give up. Do not stop. If first you fall, you pick yourself back up and you keep moving and you keep going. If you need help, I'm here. And then one thing we don't do as business owners, and this is the same thing. If you have someone with the same exact business as you, it's okay to get help with them. It's okay to collaborate. Don't feel like you have to knock the next man down to get where you need to be or you want to hold information. Because I was getting that, you know, like I'm not that type of person. Like, hey, I had a barber. She's like, I was trying to start hookah. She asked, because she worked with me sometimes. I said, yeah. I said, if you need me to show you how to get all your licenses, whatever you need to do, I'll help you with that, you know, right. Because I went to another race to get help, you know what I'm saying? And they was willing to share all the information, you know what I mean? And like, but we try to keep on to everything. That's the only way is we build each other up. I'm here. If it's any aspiring hookah business owners, if it's anything I could do to help, you can always reach out to me. But again, that's at Ethan Hookah, EFINHOOKAH. Hit me up.
Absolutely. I think I see six that I need in here. So I'm talking.
Oh, yeah.
At all times. All right. Well, y'all, thank y'all so much for listening to this episode of the Officially Outed Podcast. And Ethan Hookah, Everett Carr, you have been officially outed on the Officially Outed Podcast.
Hey. And I don't even care who knows.
Which I already knew. They've been known. No, I'm just kidding.
Let me tell you how to suck a hookah. Wow. This is PG, y'all. We're just playing.
Thank you again for listening, and be sure to join us for our next episode. You can follow the Officially Outed Podcast on all social media, including IG, TikTok, and YouTube at Officially Outed Podcast, Twitter and Facebook at Officially Outed, our webpage at officiallyouted.com, or on Snap at OFFIC Out Podcast. Be sure to subscribe, listen, like, and share. If you're an indie artist or artist management and would like to submit an artist for consideration, please email info@officiallyouted.com or connect via Instagram.